Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 3 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to PHCC, the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we are coming to you from Gastonia, North Carolina, which is today's worldwide headquarters of PHCC, and looking forward to having some great discussions in the coming weeks and months. We are doing this podcast because we believe in telling the incredible stories of our members, chapters, events, and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today, we are highlighting another great part of PHCC. We are so blessed to have Brenda Dant and Tyler Frame with us from the great state of Indiana. That was for you, Dave Frame. Brenda is the executive director of PHCC of Indiana, and Tyler is serving as the president of the Indiana PHCC State Association. And his real job is president of Bob Frame Plumbing Services in South Bend, Indiana. So, Brenda and Tyler, it is such a pleasure to have both of you with us on this PHCC Rocks broadcast. And, you know, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
And doing happy well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great. Great to be here. I'm excited. I think the biggest thing is I think a lot of times it's hard for us to get how what PHCC is really made up with of the chapters all over the country and the different components that make it work. And, there's something I love about everybody I've met from Indiana. I think the Indiana, North Carolina, I think there's very similar, you know, in a lot of our work ethics and, just how we see the world. And so yeah, I'm really excited that you guys agreed to, to help us out today and to, to give us some insight in what's going well in Indiana and in what you're doing with that. So listen, the first question I really like to get into, I think we're all on a journey, and I think it's really interesting to find out how people ended up where they are. So, if you guys could get into that and maybe some of your background and then, how you ended up so connected to, PHCC in Indiana. I don't know who wants to go first, but,
Tyler will.
Oh, okay, all right. Perfect.
Yeah, I'll start. So basically I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been a fourth generation plumber in our family. So I've been kind of working through summers growing up in the family business and then went on into college, but with all the ultimate goal on coming back and running the family business. But I quickly found out college wasn't for me. So got back and into South Bend here and started working back in the company, basically starting at the bottom and working up. So it's been about 16 years now, part of the company. Okay. So, and then I'm also vice president of our local chapter. So got involved there and then worked on up to the state level, but kind of always been drug along to all the PHCC stuff growing up through my grandfather, my dad. So I've got to see it for quite a while and be a part of it.
That's great. I love the family connections that we always get into when you start talking about people that, now are leading, different parts of the country and the state. And a lot of times it is, I know after my freshman year at NC State, I was fortunate to go into engineering there. Yeah, my father explained to me through some hard work that summer that I needed to do more. And so it worked out. But there was a lot of conversations about, was I going to flunk out or what? But anyway, it is interesting how that develops generation to generation. So that's great. Anything else, Tyler, on that? Are you good?
No, I think that's pretty much it, basically how I ended up here. So.
Okay. And so now we're probably going to start – this is going to be a trend. We're going to hear from the brains of the operation now, between the three of us, I'm sure. So go ahead, Brenda. Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. I got my master's degree in communication, and I went into grants writing. After that, and I wrote grants for schools to do some arts education programs. So from there, I hopped over to work for the state of Indiana, and I wrote grants for abandoned coal mine land. I can talk gob and slurry and high walls with the best of you. From there, I took a job as a marketing coordinator with an architectural engineering firm. We did a lot of big transportation kinds of jobs. So did a lot of that. I learned a lot about words. I have no idea what they were talking about, but it was fun. And then from there, I got into the association world. And I think that's really where I should have gone all along. Wasn't smart enough to figure it out. But was 12 years at another association where I was in member services and membership and then was lucky enough to apply for the job as executive director at Indiana PHCC, and I've been here for 22 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was 22. Okay. Mm-hmm. That explains a lot of the
reference. A lot of the wrinkles. Where the wrinkles, come
from. I did not say that. You did not say that at all. Okay. So, yeah, you know, that really, I see then, so that journey, all those steps along the way really prepared you too, right? Okay. Perfect. So, thanks for that. You know, one of the things that really has intrigued me, our business is, you know, I know just like Tyler's is really old. We're third generation, grandfather in the 40s and, you know, my father and then my brother and I now. And so I think that really helps me tie to PHCC National too, being the oldest trade association in the country. And so, you know, I really love what that means. And then, but I don't know much about Indiana's history. Can y'all share some of the history of PHCC of Indiana and what that looks like? Or do you guys?
Yeah, well, actually, we started in 1897 in Indiana. We've been through a variety of names. I can tell you that I wasn't around then. So I can't
Dave
really.
Dave Frame was, but not you.
Okay. Speak to that. But, yes, no. So, you know, not unlike National in terms of, you know, people get together in associations because there's a common need or a common goal. And certainly in Indiana, they felt that. And as the association grew and grew, so it kind of brings us to where we are today.
Well, and it also means that to survive that long through name changes, you've molded and changed. And I think we miss that a lot of times. You don't just any business. I mean, I bet your business, Tyler, is completely different than it was when it started. Now, we started as a roofing company only and then picked up things along the way. But I bet, you know, that's I'm assuming that's a similar story with PHCC Indiana and you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about the association now. You know, what does Indiana PHCC look like now? I know I'm always impressed I catch so much grief because how much you're growing compared to other states that I'm associated with. So give us some numbers and, you know.
Well, there is a lot of pride in that, I will say, in the fact that we are a small state with a small staff. There's only two of us. But I say it's all because we have incredible leaders like Tyler and the ones that have gone before us. You know, we all stand on the shoulders of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And in Indiana, we're lucky to have had some really good folks along the way. So right now we have 292 contractor members. Actually 293 because I signed one up today.
Of course. That's right. That's awesome.
And we have 61 associates. So, you know, they're really helpful for us. And then we have 8 local chapters throughout the state. Tyler's chapter is the St. Joe Valley, PHCC MCI one. And then there's also one close to his area, which is North Central. So they're kind of geographically located. They all have their own sort of ways that they look at the world, but you know, we're all under the same umbrella. We do a lot of apprenticeship training in Indiana, and I think that's really where our strength lies. We're lucky in Indiana in that we have a statewide licensing law, and that law is actually attached to, if you will, the Bureau of Apprenticeship and Training. So it's we're kind of a parallel track between the feds and the state in terms of how we train and get licensed folks out there. In the state of Indiana, anyone who holds themselves out to be a plumber must be licensed, either as an apprentice, a journeyman, or a plumbing contractor. So that alone gives us a lot of opportunity to train. So that's kind of where where our growth has come from.
So I'm interested when you talked about having the 8 locals. You know, most states, I know in North Carolina, we have a couple locals, but they're really not strong. And, you know, they've gone through some, they go through big ups and downs, it seems like. But
sure.
Have yours been fairly consistent? You know, and as partners, it sounds like they're stronger than other parts of the country. Is that?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, it goes back to the schooling. You know, right. We've, the ability to be able to get some folks together and, you know, to say, okay, if you want this, you're going to be the ones that have to do it. And we've been lucky in that sense that we've got some good folks that are committed to education and training. And so they're committed to making sure these locals do right. Then, and all the locals, I mean, Tyler's local's great in terms of the number of meetings they have and how they get together. There's other locals that we have that never meet. They might meet once a year to talk about their schooling or whatever, but so it's kind of all over the board.
Yeah, that makes sense. But there's a connection there that you guys maintain. Okay. Union, non-union?
Tyler's group is union, and then the other locals are all open shop.
Are they? Oh, okay. Great. So, yeah, we hear that all the time about, you know, the good, bad, and ugly about all that. But we see more and more when I'm in dealing with it that it's really a mix all over the country of finding ways to be successful. So,
It's all about the industry. We like to say, you know, it's for the betterment of the industry. And,
sure.
You know, the stronger we are together, it makes more sense. And certainly, as we all know, there's enough jobs to go around that, you know, that for everybody. So it's not like somebody's taking work out of somebody else's pocket. So.
Yeah, we can all use some more help currently. And of course, in Indiana, you guys probably have enough workers and workforce development's not an issue, right?
It's all golden, yep.
Yeah, and South Bend, South Bend especially. South Bend's the golden, you know, whatever. Yeah. Everything's perfect in South Bend.
Everything's golden, from the dome on down.
That's right. Exactly right. I understand. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Wolfpack, by the way, for the first time in 30 years, I don't have season football tickets. So this will be the year that we win it all. I just got new. But anyway, so, you know, it's really interesting, I think, from a national perspective, you know, how we get places and what's important, first things first and second things second and all those things. And so I've been really fortunate with our strategic plan. You know, we're just finishing this 5-year strategic plan that National developed. And, you know, we really were highly successful in a lot of ways with what we targeted to try to improve the association. But the biggest thing was changing from a and it gets lost later, but you know, at the time when we developed that, there was a lot of thought that we were more of an association centric focused group instead of a member focused group. And I think, you know, Brenda, you know, you've been around a long time, and that those things kind of creep, you know, you don't mean it that way, but I think when we looked at a lot of what was happening, you know, it felt like, and you know, and a lot of the leaders, and I did too, I was a lot of the conversations I had, but I think now we've shifted. It's really about the states and members, and you know, the members come through the locals in the states. They don't come from national to in the other direction. So I think we're focused on that a lot better. So, you know, we know coming into this new strategic plan in January that we're going to be developing, we really need your input. And so I'd like to, you know, if you were in had input into that, what would you help us or say, you got to do this, or what would you focus on that, you know, and we're going to expand what's already happened in that old strategic plan and try to, you know, tweak it maybe. But, you know, what would you say is the, you know, some things that, you know, that you would want us to focus on?
I think one of the things is, especially on a 5-year plan, let me back up. You know, one of the things that we did, I think, very successfully in Indiana is recently we had a leadership summit. And I can talk a little more about that, and certainly Tyler can too, but he was instrumental in how we focused that. And the focus really was to get not only young leaders involved, but leaders within your own organization. You know, you have a large organization, Joel, and you know, we have a lot of members who have a little bit. And so there are folks at all levels, but as an association, how do we reach those folks? And how do we make them understand that this is a great career for them? Hopefully they'll stay within your organization, but you know, they might move on and develop their own or whatever. So leadership is really key in that equation. So from a strategic planning purpose, one of the things that was really important when we looked at it is, well, who has time to spend 5 days at Connect away from their business, or 6 days or whatever? So if I were looking at your strategic plan, the first thing I would do is blow up Connect. And I would say, okay, if we really, really want to make this for the next generation or the current generation or our future leaders or whatever, what does that look like? And one of the things I'm going to tell you is it's probably not going to be 5 days in a, you know, in a hotel and a convention center and a trade show. And so, you know, and it could, you know, obviously it would take time to revamp that sort of thing, and so the second part of it, I would probably look at not unlike what Federated Insurance does with their advisory council is maybe to develop an advisory council of young contractors, and I would put on there probably non-members as well, and say, okay, what is it that you're looking for, you know, to help you with your, not with your business, with everything, you know, what is it going to excite you? What's going to get you going? What's going to make you do those sorts of things? And then really listen to them, you know, not just, you know, not do a survey or whatever, but listen to them and,
don't,
and
don't understand. Don't do a survey monkey. And then, yeah. You know,
yeah. And then go do whatever you want to do. You know,
yeah. Tyler, you know, Tyler, and seriously, going into this, I was worried I wouldn't get much feedback from Brenda. So really the next generation focus is that,
well, yeah. And not only that, but even within your own, yeah. I mean, there might be somebody within the own company. I think the difference is, Joe, for me, I don't look at membership numbers. Yes, we have a lot of members. To me, in a strategic plan, like, you know, let's get 10,000 members in 5 years, isn't as important. You give me 100 engaged members. Yeah. Those 100 engaged members are going to do way more than those check paying people. It's just the way it is. So,
no question. Yeah. You know, that was interesting. The real focus on the strategic plan 5 years ago, when we talked about all the membership growth, was because we knew that we would have to change the organization to have membership growth. It really wasn't about gaining members directly. It was more about what it's going to take to make the organization better, so people will want to join. So contractors would see it as essential. And I think to your point, there is a lot of conversation already. I'm really glad to hear about, and I'm calling it the next generation, but young leaders, there's a lot of different ways that it's framed across the country. There is so much focus, about how we get this energy, because it's a new world. And I think COVID has just proved to us that it's a completely new world now. We've got to look at it. We have plans to build new offices, and all of a sudden I'm going, I don't know, do we need new offices? I don't think we need new offices. So it's an interesting dynamic. Tyler, I mean, she said you were in, let's go ahead and talk about this leadership forum. What was, talk about that.
Yeah, so I think, like she kind of hit on, the main thing was the time frame. You know, how do we get people there, especially the younger leaders of companies that we're looking for, and that time frame was huge. I think, you know, as people come up, that like she said, that 5 day, 3 day old convention that we used to run was, you know, a few days, and usually it was a destination type thing. And anymore, that's getting, you know, with technology and how high pace everything is, to be gone for that many days can be a lot, especially younger people coming up, may have young families at home, and to either try to get the kids down there for that long or be away that long is getting to be pretty tough. You know, I know years past, that was probably the way to finally get away, maybe a small vacation.
But yeah, your dad took you on a family vacation, right? Because that's what I've heard in North Carolina. And my family, we were not involved in PHCC growing up, but others, you know, some older guys said they, you know, and some, you know, like Wes Steyer, a real good friend of mine, they that was their vacation. And that's changed.
Yeah, that's what when I first started out, you know, telling you about kind of the background when I said I got drug along, it was more, you know, the vacation.
let's talk about plumbing at Disney World. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. No, but yeah, that you're exactly right. You know, the whole family would go and spend several days, and not that it wasn't good, you know, but
I didn't hear that. I got it. Yeah. And that time frame's changed though, right?
Yeah. So now the new leadership summit we did this year, basically we did it on a Thursday night. We got together, so everybody had time to, if they want to be at work Thursday, head down. We did it in Indianapolis. So got down there Thursday evening, had our get together that evening, and then more of a social function to get everybody together. Because that's what the other aspect of it was, with coming out of COVID, we felt that we really needed to get people back together. And that's what I feel makes associations, is that personal relationship. So we hit that on Thursday evening. And then Friday, we did about a half day of seminars. We brought in some really good speakers and hit some key points. We invested in those speakers to make sure that the few that we were going to have were good, you know, and not spread out just a lot over time. So We did our round tables, which we always get really good feedback on. We got that done in that time frame, and I feel that everybody really enjoyed it. And then that everybody was able to go home for the weekend, or if you wanted to stay and network some more with individuals, you could stay through the weekend in Indy and check things out, or get back home to family. So
does it? It sounds like really focused on a one night overstay. You know, half a day you're getting there, you're socializing. The next day you're doing something very particular. Lunchtime, a little bit after lunch, if you have a meeting or whatever, then you're hitting the road, and you're really one night. Is that fair?
Yeah, and really one work day. I mean, if you can get down to Indy, you know, on Thursday at a reasonable time, I mean, you're really Friday is the only day you would have been out from work. So we had a lot of people bring, especially from the Indy area, a lot of key employees too. They got involved because they were able to get away for that half day instead of, you know, driving 4 hours away and spending three nights. You know, it was a lot of difference. We had a pretty good crowd that showed up, and I think it was a really good turnout.
Do you guys do, would you think that's a family event, or is it more business?
No. I mean,
okay.
I think it's really business. I think that's the key. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the folks I talk to, well, you know, they're not like what we were talking about. You know, it was a family thing. They say, no, my business is my business. My family is my family. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to meld the two of them together. So, I mean, I think the other thing that was very successful is the speakers that we brought in. We tried, you know, really focused on, you know, the issues at hand. So hiring and keeping, retaining top employees, you know, so now you have your team here and they can hear this, right? Which is pretty exciting. And then we had Brett Hagler, who is a millennial himself. He hires all millennials. He's been in Fast Company. He makes 3D printer homes for something totally, you know, like crazy stuff. And that was one of the things that he kept saying, you know, it's crazy till it's not, you know. And so, which I think is really, really unique. And then we had Gary Brackett come in and talk as well. And so what I found satisfying about it was, we had some door prize drawings, and instead of just drawing door prizes, you know, I have to make it harder for everybody. So I pre-printed everybody's name, and I said, before you put this in there, you have to tell me the one takeaway you got from today.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That simple change, that makes all the difference. Yeah. That little
beauty,
thing.
The beauty of it is that it was equally divided into thirds. So one third of the people got something out of the first speaker, and it was, I mean, and they wrote it down. I mean, it was just, it was awesome.
It was a powerful outcome instead of it just giving away stuff. Yeah.
And to see new faces and,
Hang on a second, Brenda. Hang on. Make people tell you a story about what they got out of it. Every time I do something in PHCC, I learn something, and I think that's what we miss a lot of times, but you have to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to either be on the Zoom call or be there and do it. So yeah, that's incredible. So, a couple of things that have already happened in some of these conversations at Connect, and then, you know, even on these some of these podcasts, is this conversation that we're having that, you know, we all at the different levels, we all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have resources. We all have maybe staying in our lane. It tends to be a problem on expectations. You know, National does things that Indiana cannot do, and vice versa. And so I think sometimes we cross those line so often, and we end up, I wouldn't say damaging each other, but causing confusion, whatever. And then I had some conversations at Connect about, you know, there's so much going on at PHCC National that it's almost too information overload in some ways. And so I believe that Indiana, for instance, needs to pick the 15% that they really need from National and take it, you know, way out there and just go with it. Is that a reasonable, you know, because for instance, the apprenticeship program works in some states, and there's no chance in other states that we have. Exactly. So how do you see that, and how do we turn that into real positive leadership? Because, see, I'm one of the things, this John Gordon, I don't know if you guys are a fan of John Gordon, but we had him come in and was our keynote. And coming out of COVID, listening to you, Tyler, you're talking really about positive leadership going forward is what I'm hearing at the state level and the local level. And so we're trying to figure out how to do that. And I think you can't step on each other's toes, you know. How do you see that, Brenda, with all your experience? You know?
But one of the things I think that I look for, you know, you can't replicate what we did in Indiana because, as you said, not everybody has an apprentice program and not everybody has statewide licensing. So, you know, it's, again, you go back to membership campaigns and that sort of thing. It's not going to do any good in Iowa or East Cupcake or wherever it is that, that you want to do.
We're
going to
put, by the way, I'm going to put an asterisk beside your membership numbers in the next, I'm just kidding, the next report.
You wouldn't be the first. That's okay.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so good. Okay.
So from my point of view, you know, like I need help. And, you know, I think we had talked about, the business intelligence thing. And one of the things that we, and that's a little bigger than what I initially asked for, but really what I'm looking for is a few years ago, just to give you an example, in Indiana, there was a jobs creation commission that was brought back by the General Assembly to look at every single license in the state of Indiana. So there's 143 or whatever that are all licensed, everything from pharmacists to funeral directors, blah, 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 blah. And so the goal was, you know, we don't need as much regulation. You know, it's a burden to get a license. Why do we need to do that? Blah, blah, blah. So in reality, you know, what you would say is, well, plumbers protect the health of the nation. It's a health and safety concern. They need to be licensed, right?
Sure.
Well, so what got thrown back was prove it.
Sure.
And not only prove it, but you show me fiscally what that means to the Indiana taxpaying consumer.
Sure. You know, and as a taxpayer and a business owner, we want our governments doing those kind of things, but we want to protect our specific, and that's perfect, right? I mean, it is.
Right, yeah. Right. And so, you know, so there I am sitting, trying to figure all of this out, and I'm, you know, doing research and, you know, trying to do all that. So what would have helped me at that time is to be able to call national and say, okay, give me these numbers and this number and that number and whatever, and show statistics and, you know, et cetera. And I couldn't. I mean, it didn't exist. So that's where this whole conversation has been kind of going on ever since then. I mean, we were lucky enough to win our case and we got to keep our license, and we weren't the only ones
we had the same thing in North Carolina. We had all kind of a tax. Well, we took it, you know, it's probably not fair, but we took it as a tax on our licensing, when in reality, you know, our legislative group was trying to figure out how to improve the systems. And then across the country, there's a lot of different, it took a lot of different formats, I think, in different states, like you said. So, but you know, by you asking that question was one of the important pieces I wanted to talk about. You guys asking those questions and actually being consistent to continually ask those questions and not let the question go away, Brenda. You know, I heard this question 2 years ago, maybe longer. Isn't it two and a half?
Yeah.
Well, I don't listen at first, you know. But I think because you guys wouldn't quit asking the question is why we got to the point now that it became a bigger thing, because, you know, we hear information like that a lot of times from states, and North Carolina, we've done it. We'll ask a question and then, you know, we get tired and we don't keep on it. But because of your professional leadership and consistent leadership, now national is standing up and put money aside, and we're standing up, and all of a sudden everybody's excited about it. But see, it takes leadership like that, and to be dogged on it and not get frustrated. Well, not outwardly get completely frustrated, but keep asking the question. And so I think, you know, when we got Laura and you know, a lot of us drove it, and, you know, and well, everybody got
Hoosiers
behind.
Hoosiers are persistent, Joel. We're very persistent.
Trust me, I've learned that quite well by a couple people that I've been around with lately. But that's what it takes, and not being afraid when you know you're right. Especially, we need more of that. You know, when we know also that it can matter to other people that may not even see what's happening, and we get that all the time. One state has a problem, and a lot of things travel from west to east in the country, you know, or different parts. And so it's really, I think, really powerful. And so I just congratulate you on that. And then hopefully we can deliver a product and regionally, because it does become a problem in that sense too, that we can get some information that'll matter to you. So we need more feedback going forward. Anything else on that, or is that tie that up?
The other thing I think more recently that National has helped with, and I'm going to say it's because the person at National is a Hoosier, Chuck White, has has really helped.
Hang on. Whoa. Every time, Tyler, you don't know. Every time we say Chuck White, I make us clap because Chuck White is the man. Okay. So, we don't clap for Mark Valentini on purpose, but anyway, it's another story, but keep going.
So, we're looking at the state of Indiana is looking at the possibility of updating our codes, the plumbing code, mechanical code, which are woefully out of date. And, it goes through an agency, which is a different agency from licensing. And so, you know, I'm on all these different calls and et cetera. And so this one was one just to explore whether or not the codes should be updated. And so they have this committee. And so I was, you know, a Zoom bystander sort of thing. And one of the things they said, well, we need to ask folks, you know, if they even want their codes updated, you know. So, and, you know, so we're using a 2006 plumbing code in the state of Indiana. And last time we looked, it was 2021. And so they said, well, what would happen? But the big key, when we go back to this all the time, is what's the fiscal impact? What would the fiscal impact be? And so, you know, safety, fiscal impact. And so they're like, yeah, we need to really look at this. So I contacted Chuck. And I said, Chuck, is there any way you can help me with this? And he said, well, sure, if you can give me a week or whatever. Yeah. So Chuck does this incredible spreadsheet with, you know, each and every single code that needs to be updated and why and what will happen and what the cost will be, right? And so I, you know, go to the next meeting, you know, little Brenda, and here's the architects, and they get up there and they send a letter that says, you know, we really believe they need to be updated. Thank you very much. And then here's the, you know, it just went down, down, down. And then it comes to the little plumbers and they're like,
and air conditioning. Go ahead.
Oh my God. Like they were like over the top. They're like, this is amazing. So then they go back and say, no, all you other people, you have to do it this way.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then, yeah. So, you know, thanks to Chuck, and I couldn't have done that on my own because Lord knows to me, it's Japanese, that whole code thing. So.
Well, it is in the, you know, just his general mindset. There aren't many people that can get into those kind of details to the level he does and stay so calm and stay on it. So, I mean, it takes a special person to be able to. I don't think we appreciate it near enough. That's why I clap every time we get into his, what he's into, because it's unappreciated to, you know, it's one of those things too, that I think, you know, without him at National providing that, the void that would be there, it's almost, it can go unnoticed how negative things could be if he wasn't there. And so,
absolutely.
I really appreciate it. That's great. bless you. And it makes you look really smart, doesn't it, Brad? He's made me look smart often. So it's a good thing. So those are two success stories. And I think, you know, one of those questions for me is I really want us to talk continuously about how National is really helping you in certain specific things. I think that was a great answer to, you know, that is, so you feel like those are just two things that are just invaluable that from a day to day that you just couldn't, you don't have the resources to be able to focus on that enough with everything else you're trying to do. So.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So, I want to switch gears a minute. And I like in the middle of this thing to do ask a couple questions that are a little bit different. And so if you guys, you know, and I think building relationships is about building trust and people understanding each other personally. We tend to focus now on so many things that separate us, but, you know, by having some conversations about who we really are, I think it changes that. So tell us, if you don't mind, tell us some things that maybe nobody would know about you that maybe surprise people or, you know, whatever. And who wants to start?
Tyler.
Okay, I'll go ahead. so this probably really surprised my wife the most, but I got into cooking here recently. So started doing a little grilling and things more or less outside in the garage area, but it kind of started it small and now I've kind of really gotten into it. So a few times a week I'm cooking dinner and
out on the grill.
Yep, and I got a griddle thing that got a new thing.
What's the specialty? You know, what is it? What would she say? What would she say is the specialty?
Actually, it's something not too hard, but just the burgers I started making here recently with a new recipe on the griddle.
And, oh, okay.
She asked for those quite a bit, but it's pretty cool. I can do about anything. She can cook inside. I can do pretty much outside now. And
be careful.
She,
be careful.
Yeah, I know. That's good.
You know, that's funny you said that. So, years ago, I got a smoker and started smoking things. And, you know, we did it for a while. And then my wife finally came because I loved it, you know, and my son loved it. And my wife said, how much longer are you going to actually cook these things? Because I think I'm going to have to, when you do this, we're going to have to cook something else for my daughter and my, because we can't stand it. And I, you know, anyway, I don't think it was that good, but whatever. But yeah, well, that's really good.
Yeah, I went from, you know, basically asking for directions on making grilled cheese to outside. So
that's great. Well, that's a really good thing. So I'm open any Saturday football season. Anyway, good. Sounds good. So Brenda, what about you?
I would say probably what people don't know about me is that I'm actually was commissioned a Kentucky colonel. So I'm actually it's an honorary degree that the Commonwealth of Kentucky bestows on certain people. And so I'm actually a colonel in the Kentucky Army. And so I get invited to do things around Derby time. And
so it was because of the Derby? I mean, we had to know a little bit more than just that. Go ahead.
It's actually a funny story. I'm pleased about it because it was bestowed upon me by a female governor. So I always thought that was pretty cool. But it was when I was working for the architectural engineering firm and doing some work in Kentucky for our Kentucky office. And one of the guys kept saying, you know, if you just do this one more thing. And I cannot do one more thing. I cannot do one more thing. He said, I'll give you anything you want. I said, oh yeah, like make me a Kentucky colonel. And he said, anything but that.
Okay.
Because you have to really know the governor and all that stuff. So I just laughed and didn't think anything of it. And about 4 months later, there was this knock on my door and this giant thing came. So, but once you are, they can't take it away from you.
How long have you guys known each other?
Tyler? Yeah. I've known Tyler for 22 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that doesn't surprise me, Brenda. Anybody that knows what you do, I can see those kind of things happening because of what you do, not because of what you talk about. You know, I think those are the only things those kind of things happen. And you know, that's pretty strong. Okay. Those are the two best answers I've had so far. So that's good stuff. So, the other thing I like to do, especially as we get a little bit older, is if you had to go back and give advice to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself?
I think I would, tell my 20-year-old self a little something about the future. Like if you ever, you know, when Bitcoin comes around, sell everything you own to buy some. This little thing called Amazon. You might want to jump on that too. I think one thing would be not turning down opportunities. You know, I think when you're younger, you kind of mentioned it earlier, you kind of stay in your lane a little bit. It's kind of a term you used earlier. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't realize that something you might not feel comfortable with can really have a positive impact.
Well, that's great advice. When we're younger, we tend to think and scared is not the right words, but we tend to view it differently. And so, and you miss opportunities. That's great advice, actually. Brenda, you got?
Mine would actually be from the musical Hamilton. So when Alexander Hamilton was young and he, you know, he had all these ideas and everything was going through his head. He went to Aaron Burr and he was like rallying all this stuff up. And the line in the show is from Aaron Burr is talk less, smile more. Don't let them know what you're against or what you're for. And I think that would be, you know, I think when I was younger, I was like, you know, gung-ho and whatever. And I probably missed a lot of opportunities by not just listening more and seeing what was out there.
Oh, yeah. As a talker. Yeah. I've had that issue too. It is an interesting, as you age a little bit, it's interesting how the world doesn't change, but you see the world differently. It's I don't know. I think that's a tough question. All right. The thanks for those answers. Favorite dessert.
Actually, I'm gonna have to go with the season here. Go pumpkin pie. That's have whipped cream on it though. That's
okay. Brenda, good one. That is a good one.
Mine is a chocolate gelato from this little little shop in Florence, Italy.
No so kidding.
Yeah, so if you want to take me to Florence, and I'll go see
Indiana, Indiana to Florence. That doesn't, and Kentucky, that doesn't add up, but that's okay. You know, yeah, I like, mine really is apple pie with vanilla ice cream on it. And oh, it's so decadent. I mean, it's perfect. And so, yeah, I like, we, and you know, it comes from, we used to, growing up, my parents made a lot of homemade ice cream, you know, with the churner and everything. And, and, you know, we did all these, but vanilla kept being the actually it was the vanilla and strawberry at the time, but the vanilla was really, so I always got tied up in that. But anyway, that's one of the reasons why. So, and then the last thing, book recommended. I think leaders like you guys, normally I hear they read a lot. And so do you guys read a lot? And just give me some book recommendations, because we like sharing information if you got any.
Yeah,
you don't read the frames don't read probably. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we don't get into too much of that here lately though. Doing a lot of children books. So maybe the Wonky Donkey is my favorite. The kind of appeals to a younger crowd I got at home, but
well, that relates to anyway, I'm not gonna touch that. No. I'm gonna leave that alone. That's perfect. I understand what you're into, probably. My kids are a little bit old. Yeah, okay, that's perfect. Well, that's actually great. Okay, Brenda.
Well, I read a lot, but I'm not gonna give you a book. I'm gonna give you a television show to watch if you don't, on Apple Plus TV. It's called Ted Lasso. Oh. And Ted Lasso is the story of an American football coach who goes to London to coach a soccer team and knows really nothing about soccer. It has nothing to do with sports. It has everything to do with people and relationships. And so Ted Lasso's has several lines in the show that I love, but he says, "I believe in hope. I believe in belief." And I think that if you believe it can be done, it can be done. So I really like that. And then the other one is, be curious, not judgmental. And I think so often that we judge before, you know, if we were just more curious about whatever the other side was or whatever the other thing was going on, and we asked more questions before we just went out and judged it, it would be better. So it's a great show if you have an opportunity to check
it out. That's great. And see, that's really good. I love the Ted Lasso story. That I've not seen that, but I've heard some other people talking about that. So I'll definitely look into that. Tyler, I've got the Dog Poop Initiative, okay, is a children's, actually it's not a, it's a leadership book, but just look that up. That's one of the books my brother and I have talked to our company about, but the Dog Poop Initiative, and that's all you need to know. Just look at that. It's a real easy, and it's got a lot of pictures, so I really enjoyed it. So yeah, look that up. And your kids will actually, how old are your kids?
5 and 2.
Well, okay, it's a little bit early. Maybe the 5-year-old in a couple of years, but yeah, he'll appreciate that down the road. And it's anyway, that tells you the level of reading I'm doing. But anyway, that's all good. So, you know, Brenda, we already talked about it some, but what would you, you know, we talked about how important the state associations are, and I believe our success or failure as national is going to be based on how well we help the state associations win, and they all need something different. And, you know, we're such a diverse, organization. You know, one of the great things that happened, it was a history, and I've talked about it too much probably at this point, but we had a 90 at Connect. We had a 90, you've probably seen this. We had a 91-year-old gentleman from Virginia, one contractor of the year. And he was there and he got up on stage and he had more energy than I do. It was great. I mean, I just, talking to him was amazing, and his story. So it's a story, right? It's a story of success, but think about his journey, 91 years. I mean, that journey with his family is amazing. And then we had the only female air conditioning apprentice won the apprenticeship contest. And, you know, I think that's becoming more of a norm, but we haven't caught up with that thought process yet. And so, you know, that happened, those kind of things are happening. It's really historic. But what would you, you know, kind of tying all that and understanding that the state associations, what specifically do you want national to do? Because this is your opportunity to go, okay, national, you know, Indiana needs you to do this. And I've already heard 3 or 4, but what, you know, because that's what I'm asking, and I want us to hear, talk about the truth and understand it so that we get better together. You know?
I don't know that I have one thing that I can tell you that I would want from national. I think the key really is, you know, if you're into leadership books, the old Covey book, Seek First to Understand.
Sure.
And I think that's the key. you know, we're all different. I mean, you know, you get all the execs together and they start talking and it's just not, I mean, we can't replicate things per se because everybody's different and everybody looks at the world differently. But so from a national point of view, I think just as opposed to, you know, throwing stuff out there and seeing what will stick, which I think has happened in the past, you know, maybe just spend more time really just listening and not, and listening to understand, not necessarily listening to solve a problem, because there's a difference in those two things. And I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, I can say, gosh, I'm, you know, I've got this job creation commission and they want to know this. And then already, you know, somebody's spitting out, well, why don't you do this? And why don't you do this? And why don't you do this? When in reality, if you would listen all the way through and figure out what the real crux of the matter is, and then go, well, let's, you know, okay, what can we do together to figure this out?
Okay. That's, Tyler, that's years of understanding what really goes on. Yeah. Not that we would already decide what we're going to do and then ask questions. Yeah, that's how we run our business at GSM Services. That's awesome. Well, that's really insightful. And it's hard, you know, with the variety of state associations. I really think we get in trouble trying to one size fits all. I mean, and I don't think the intentions are there to do that, but that's how it gets projected. And you know, it's a tough thing. Tyler, you're what, mid-30s?
Yeah, 35.
Well, I bet you have a different perspective than, oh, I'm 55. And so, I, you know, the world's a different place. So
one big thing I really like, and we talked about at the beginning, you know, the PHEC to me really is an association nationally, locally, state, is about the betterment of the industry as a whole. And I think over the last several years, I mean, just even the years I've been in it, there's a big switch in the professionalism of the plumbing and HVAC trade that's displayed. And I, you know, I hope that we can continue that path. I think that the old reputation or stigmas that plumbers and HVAC techs might have had at one time are starting to slowly disappear. And you see that in the schools, the high schools. And I hope we can continue to grow that. And I think, you know, one big piece of that is licensing as well, you know, to for some of these guys to go out and get that license and that, hold that, you know, to keep the value of this profession, I think is really important. So I hope that as a big group nationally, we can keep pushing that agenda. So.
Wow. Okay. I like that. You know, Brenda, I was looking at your email you sent me the other day, and it was interesting what you just said about professionalism, Tyler, and, you know, at the bottom of your, or in the middle of your signatures, enhance professionalism, educate, train, provide industry leaders, grow with Indiana, PHCC. I got that the other day and just highlighted it and just said that, but that's really what we need to do across the country. That's every local, every state. And that, because the professionalism is really, in a lot of ways, what you guys at the AEC, the executives do to help elevate us together. And so that really struck home with me, Tyler. So, okay, good stuff. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that, you know, one of my goals has always been being a part of this is, you know, you get younger people that always, you always ask them what they want to be, especially when they're younger kids and things. And they say, you know, lawyer, doctor, astronaut, you know, I think the end goal is to get plumber right there at the top of that list, right? Or technician, you know, HVAC tech, or, you know, I think that would be, that's the end goal.
Well, the narrative's changing. Yeah. You can feel it with micro, some of the stuff we hear from micro. But, you know, parents, I think, are finally, and I'm sure in Indiana it's the same. In North Carolina, we're seeing it across the country there, that parents are starting to realize the path is so much clearer without all the debt that, you know, going to college is no longer the preferred path in a lot of cases to get where you want to go. And so I think we are telling that story, and we got to keep telling the story, because that story is how we, how kids are going to start believing. And we have to believe it first. So that's good stuff. Any, you know, we're kind of winding up, any last thoughts or any other things that we didn't talk about, Brenda? I know you've got a million things you could talk about.
are you saying I'm a talker, Joel? Is that what you're saying? The person who just said you need to listen more is a talker, is what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying that of a lot of the execs I know and have known, there is just a ton of experience and knowledge if we'll listen to you. And so this is a forum where we
gotcha.
And that's what I'm saying. There's
I think I really do. I mean, I think I truly believe it's an honor to work for the folks that I work for. And I have, over these last 22 years, I mean, I've seen some incredible growth in terms of the industry and the association, just in, you know, elevating everything. And so I think that's the key. And the key is just to keep, you know, not to look at the what we've done in the past, but to really focus on, you know, what's the future going to look like and how can we do better. And I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that, you know, our guys never quit working, right? You guys never quit working.
Yeah, we were essential. Everybody was essential. That's right.
I came in every day and I, you know, tried to help people. You know, I was constantly on the phone trying to, you know, things were changing, you know, by the moment and depending on where you were calling me from. And I was trying to provide that information. What's key to me coming out of this is I want PHCC to be that person that, you know, when you have a problem as a professional contractor, I'm going to go to my professional association and find out what the answer is. And that to me is where we need to be. And, you know, that's going to look different for everybody. And, you know, some people are going to say, thanks. You know, we saw people at our leadership summit I've never seen before. And how exciting is that, right? Well, we may never see them again, but did we, you know, provide a service to them that's going to make them more professional and better in what they're doing? And I certainly hope so. And how we engage folks, you know, we have to, I mean, trust me, Joel, I got to figure out who I call, who I fax, who I send a carry, who I have to, whose wife I have to call, whose girlfriend I have to call.
You know, there's a list I got the other day, and there were no mobile numbers and it was all fax numbers, and I about died. And but it is, yeah. We're still caught in that world.
Yeah. Some people you text, some people you have to, you know, so all of that sort of stuff, communicating and how, you know, I mean, I have a master's in communication from 100 years ago. And, you know, back then, you know, we talked about, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, you know, does anybody hear it? Well, you know, now it's going to be on social media within 3 seconds and everybody's going to make a comment on it. So you have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's really good comments and giving us some goals at National. All right, Tyler, last words.
Yeah, I'd just say she hit a nail on the head there. I mean, you know, as PHCC is a place for, you know, contractors go when they have those issues that arise. And I've really learned that. I think at the beginning, you know, I said that, you know, college wasn't for me and I jumped into the trade end of it, you know, got my license. Well, over the last several years, as I've grown into the business side, you know, having those mentors, that networking channel, that place to go for information has been huge. I think to keep that moving forward is really essential to the association. So,
well, and I tell you, you know, you're putting it that way too. There, it's amazing how people will share their successes and help you succeed if you develop just a little bit of a relationship with them. And you know, in North Carolina, there's a guy that runs a really small service business in Winston-Salem, which is kind of in the center of our state. And you know, on the surface, our business and his is completely different. But when we get together, him and I, he'll ask me a question, you know, and his questions to me are, how in the world are y'all gotten so big? And my questions to him are, oh my God, we used to do that really well and we stink at it now. And the services he's provided are so much better. And so we learn from each other so much. You know, you know, on the surface, people go, really? You know, the respect back and forth, he does things that we can't do anymore. And it just drives me bananas because, you know, we're a little bit, maybe too big for our britches on some things. So it's interesting how that, you know, making all those connections with people really helps you go. And then the younger, you know, you especially, you know, in your state can make a massive difference on younger guys. So they don't listen to, you know, there gets to be a disconnect, but they can connect with you so well. So it's really important. You know, 35 is, I know you're getting a little bit older, but you're not 55 like I am. And so it's really important to connect at that level. So, yeah, thanks for all that. So, guys, listen, I appreciate it. Anything else? I mean, I don't want to cut Brenda off. She talks so much.
No, I do appreciate the opportunity to, you know, showcase us, and certainly folks like Tyler and we have great people that I work with. So I'm really, really blessed.
Tyler, anything else? You're a lot better looking than your dad. We do a lot of kid ribbing back and forth state to state, and but much respect to frankly, much respect to your family and just about everybody I've ever met from Indiana. Salt of the earth people, and that's one of the things that fires me up as a contractor now, in some leadership in PHCC, the people you meet all over the country. There's so much more we have in common than separates us if we'll just get to know each other better. And that's, from Massachusetts to California to Indiana, everywhere. And so we're really blessed. So I really appreciate you guys being on this thing. We're going to finish up with a couple of things. I try to do a book recommendation in every one of these. And, John Gordon's I'm a big fan of his. And the Energy Bus, if you've not read it, it's an easy read. And tells a great story about a guy that has a lot of self-doubt. And a lot of times people look at you in the positions we get in and they go, oh, my God. But, we all have self-doubt. But really, it's an incredible story about how somebody that he met in the most awkward of places or unusual place on a bus really changed his future. And so I think it's a good story, a quick story, and good to leave. So I would recommend The Energy Bus by John Gordon. All of us take those kind of opportunities to read and learn every day. So listen, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please spread the word if you can about the podcast, and please don't hesitate to contact us here at podcast@phccrocks.com. We are always looking for suggestions for future podcast topics and guests. You can find the podcast and subscribe at the website, phccrocks.com. And please follow us on our social media platforms. You can also find us and subscribe and rate the podcast on most podcast services such as Apple Podcast, Spotify, I have no idea what that is, and Google. Thanks again to Brenda Dant and Tyler Frame from PHCC of Indiana for being the incredible guests they were today. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. That was bad. PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King with GSM Services and Charlotte Parham of PHCC National and edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why PHCC Rocks.